Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. What's crack-a-lack, my peoples? What's crack-a-lack, my peeps? Welcome to the Dave and GC Rock Show right here on Renaissance Radio, Airwaves America. Yo, we got going on. It's going to be a great show. Great, great, great show. There's signs that it's going to be a great show. I'll tell you about it in a second. But we got a great show going on, but let's get some stuff out of the way real quick.
Let me jump in right now because you're kind of skipping all over the place. Our call-in number is 516-387-1705. My name is Dave. That's G-Ski. That is the G-Ski. If you were wondering where he's been, well, here he is. Okay, you don't need to wonder anymore. Once again, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. If you want to reach G-Ski by email, you can get him at gskirocks@airwavesamerica.com. If you don't know how to spell G-Ski Rocks, God be with you. If you want to reach me by an email, you can reach me by dave@airwavesamerica.com. And like he said, we got a great, great, great show. We have no idea what we're going to do, but what we have is faith. Go ahead, G. You still with us? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still. That was actually kind of funny. I'm trying to make some moves here so I can improve my I sounds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody there that can, like, you know, tilt you back on the thing and wheel you around like on a dolly? You know. Anybody's wondering? G-Ski's on a dialysis machine, getting his radiator flushed, and that's not, as we've already talked about, that's not a sexual thing. There's no metaphors there. Well, it is a metaphor, but he's getting himself cleaned up on the inside. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How do I sound now?
Well, there's a little bit of an echo. I'll give it another shot. Ready to go.
Hey.
All right. Hit it.
Okay.
You're the man. Great, great show.
Yeah, I'm I'm broadcasting from my phone now. So
yeah, no skips at least.
Yeah, no skips at least. So sounds a little bit better. We should be good. We should be good.
It is all good.
Yeah.
Good show.
On and popping.
On and popping. It's all good. It's all gravy. And we love gravy.
Yeah, that's right. I love gravy. Gravy and bacon. Gravy and bacon. And we'll talk about that a little later. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyways, like I was saying, we got a great, great show. Lots of stuff to talk about. I want to talk about the voter fraud in Georgia.
Bite your tongue.
Talk about that.
Bite your tongue.
You know, it is so irritating because you know it's happening, But at the time, you can't prove it because, you know, I mean, I don't have the funds or the resources to do my own investigation and talk. You know, the big deal is in Fulton County, which Fulton County is actually the county that I used to live in. For most of you that have been listening to the show since we started it back up, I recently got a new home. So I moved out of Fulton County, and I'm in a new county now. I'm actually not far from where I used to live, but I'm in a different county. But anyways, all that being said, I lived in Fulton County for about 21 years. And there's all kinds of crap that's been going on in Fulton County. There's always been problems when it came time for voting, especially during general elections. Yeah, there were always issues in Fulton County. Long lines or things like that. But yeah, there's always been issues. I've called the Justice Department on two different occasions because of the issues that's been going on in Fulton County. Nothing's ever came of those phone calls, but I've made them because of things that I found, you know, issues in Fulton County during elections.
That's just anecdotal, though. That's just anecdotal. You don't have any real proof or systemic thing, you know, evidence. Just what happened to you, right?
I still have, well, one of the incidents I don't have any proof of. Another incident I do. During the election of Barack Obama, during the election of Barack Obama, when I was standing in that long, long line, what they did were they were passing out sample ballots to let you know what the ballots look like and all this other stuff. They're passing out to everybody that was in the line waiting to vote. Now, these sample ballots had all the Democrats selected on the sample ballot. They're not supposed to do that. They're just supposed to hand you the ballot so you know what it looks like, so you have an idea on how you're going to do what you're going to do.
Well, that's because that's what they wanted it to look like when you were done.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Right, I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. And that is illegal. So I called the Justice Department about it, but nothing was ever done. And another time, it
you
wasn't
know why
a general
was done. Hold on a second. You know why nothing was done? The whoever took the phone call was probably thinking, do you know how many calls exactly like this that we get? You think we have time to deal with just your thing? Sorry. That one just popped into my head and out my mouth before I could stop it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because the gentleman that I had talked to at that time said, well, you know, if I get more complaints like that, then we'll look into it. And that's what he told me. And I ended up calling him back and asking him. And he was like, well, nothing really has come of it. But what they did was illegal. I mean, that's just one incident. So you're just going to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what bothered me. You know, that's election fraud right there. But nothing was done of it. And now, you know, the 2020 election, there was tons of it in Fulton County, and the frustrating part about it is nobody's talking about it. There's been groups. Now they haven't just formed; they've been around for a minute. One of them is called Voter GA.
Yep.
They've been around for a minute. There's another one. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they've been around for some years now. They've been, you know, investigating voter fraud, not just the 2020 elections, but they've been checking all the elections here in Georgia, and they've gotten access to the audits that they had here in Georgia, and the results, a lot of these results are stunning. I mean, it's clear voter fraud.
And I'm looking at a headline right now. It says, Georgia Secretary of State explains why he's just now discovering more than 10,000 illegal votes cast in 2020. During a detailed discussion with the Federalists on Wednesday, representatives from the Georgia Secretary of State's office provided their perspective on new evidence suggesting that more than 10,300 Georgian voters illegally cast ballots in the November 2020 general election. And I'll bet if they chase down those 10,300 Georgian voters, quote-unquote voters, they'll know nothing of it. I think their name was probably just used.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if that's written correctly, because perspective on new evidence suggesting more than 10,300 Georgian voters illegally cast ballots in the November 2020 election. I wonder if that means there was 10,000 non-citizens that voted, or they cast two ballots, or, you know, or maybe there was fewer actual people and they cast, you know, 40 ballots each or something. You know what I mean? I don't know what that means. So,
right.
That's one of today's headlines. So,
yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of it. There were over 30,000 people that moved out of Fulton County.
Oh, I got that right here. Says shortly after the November 2020 election, Mark Davis, the president of Data Productions, Inc., and an expert in voter data analytics and residency issues, determined from national change of address records that nearly 35,000 Georgia voters who indicated they had moved from one Georgia county to another voted in the 2020 general election in the county from which they had moved.
Yes. That is illegal. That is illegal. And then also, a whistleblower that was present during the audit took pictures of sacks of flat mail-in ballots. Now, you know the mail-in ballots have to be folded.
Yeah, they gotta be folded
in order to be mailed.
Yeah.
Yeah. These were absolutely flat, and there were, I mean, stacks of them. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of flat ballots. And also, this whistleblower noted that these same flat ballots, they were printed. They weren't handwritten.
In other words, the ovals that were filled in were perfectly machine filled in and not done by hand.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I've heard of that since the first day. I've heard about that since the first day.
Right. And the majority of the whistleblower, the ones that she seen, were all for, guess who? Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they have video, and Giuliani presented this video before and nothing was said. They have video of the auditors taking ballots, running them through the machine, and then running them again.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so hundreds and hundreds of ballots were double counted.
Yeah, but probably not enough to tip the election or sway the election. The more I see, the more I hear about all this stuff that people are now finding. It is unbelievable the degree. See, and this is what I have attested the whole time, or I have contended the whole time, is they, in order to overcome the advantage that Trump had for votes, they had to go so far to beat his, you know, to say that they won. And the only people who believe that are people who only watch, you know, like the mainstream news, right? Mainstream media. And, you know, to the degree that is where everybody, obviously, that's where they're getting their information. They watch the Sunday shows and this and that. And they have all these people on, and they bring out all this evidence. They bring out all this, you know, all these numbers or whatever like that. But anybody that sits back and looks, and I've said this since we started this, when you look at the number of people drawn to a rally, when you look at the 98 mile in Arizona, the 98 mile Trump train, you look at those boat trains, the boat parades, you know, you look at all that stuff, and Joe could draw 200 cars to a drive-in speech. The inauguration was locked down, wasn't it? Nobody got in there to see him get inaugurated because of the quote unquote insurrection. But not only that, it was, he couldn't have drawn that many people, and they didn't want everybody to see that he couldn't really draw that many people.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the most obvious thing to me was you take a look at the people who were energized against the people who were energized by hate. You know, I mean, I think we way, way, way outnumbered them to the degree that they had to go so far that when anybody takes a look at, you know, the different pieces of evidence, In order to not believe the evidence, or in order to not accept the evidence, you have to be predisposed to want him gone and believe that he got voted out legally.
Right.
And I think that's why he's been putting off saying whether he's going to run in 2024, because he knows that he. When all this stuff shakes out, he was the winner of the last one. So, you know what I mean? And he's probably waiting to find how this shakes out before he announces anything.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely insane that you have this much voter fraud and we don't hear anything. From the mainstream media.
What you do here is mocking, is conspiracy. It's the quote unquote the big lie. Now tell me that word, the big lie, has not been washed through a focus group. I guarantee that phrase, the big lie, has been washed through a number of focus groups, because it is that is the go-to phrase.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And now I think, because, you know, I'm not really switching up, but in that respect, Rudy Giuliani has been suspended from practicing law in New York and in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he made a big deal about what was going on in Georgia. And, you know, they were saying, well, you know, he lied and all this other stuff. But he's not the only lawyer that is under fire. All the other lawyers that presented a case to whatever states that they were in for Trump, all of these lawyers are now under fire for what you just said, the big lie. Now, if all this stuff is going on in Georgia, they need to immediately reverse both of those suspensions because what Giuliani told them was not a lie.
Mm, right. Yeah.
And I mean, it's crazy because I'm reading this article here on NPR. I don't read a lot of their articles. But
I was just going to say, why? Why?
Yeah, I just had to read this one because it says Trump lawyers who spread false election claims are now defending themselves in court. That's what it says. These lawyers
they're
going to
be embarrassed. If they read this article, if they read the article from the Federalist, I just posted an article up in the chat that I was reading from. And, you know, they're going to be embarrassed now because everything is coming out.
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish up because I'm going to squeak off in a slightly different direction, but it will end up parallel. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Now, just reading this, okay, listen to this. 6 months after the violent attack, now they always got to mention the Capitol riot.
Yeah.
Always have to mention that. 6 months after the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol, attorneys who promoted former President Trump's false claims about election fraud are being forced to defend their actions in court. But some experts say the abuses over the past 4 years compel the legal profession to perform some deeper soul searching. So they're saying that these lawyers just for the last 4 years just been lying about everything, especially the 2020 election. I just think it's important if we are to rest, we are to reset that our profession is prepared to confront itself and make decisions about who we want to be, who we are, and what it's going to require, which may be uncomfortable to ensure that we hold our character. That was a quote by somebody at the NAACP.
Okay, so
figures.
Yeah, well,
figures.
We need to start using their language because, you know, there's going to be some information that's going to be cut and dry and undeniable, and it may actually be uncomfortable for many people. But Trump won the election. So here we go. This was kind of a big thing, and it blew up kind of yesterday and today, I mentioned that I kind of like to see how things shake out before I dive in. But this is where I was going to talk about Jen Psaki not being able to say communism was bad, but she finally did that today. So in other words, they evolved their position on whether communism is bad and came out and finally said yes, communism. but before today, they wouldn't. They, you know, she would scoff at it. Do you think the, you know, the people in Cuba are rioting because of communism? And she's like, what? No.
Ha!
What? You know? But today, you know, well, the president has been very clear, is what she was saying before, you know, but now it's like, yes, we agree that communism is a failed ideology. But what about her appearance, her press conference with the main doctor, the general, the main doctor in the U.S. Who is it? I want to say Secretary General, but it's not. It's the
the Surgeon
General.
General.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And what they had admitted to was that and I don't know if Dane is still listening to Levin or not, but he was saying that admission of staying in close contact with Facebook and social media and monitoring and flagging for those agencies, for those companies to stop the spread of misinformation. Now, it was regarding, you know, they were talking about regarding, because of the Surgeon General being there, they were talking about regarding the COVID vaccine. And, but it goes, you know, if they're doing that, they can do it for anything. And I'll bet that the big lie that there is, you know, there's people that they're tracking. You know, she said yesterday that there were about 12 influencers who have a big audience, and they were monitoring their posts regarding what they're saying about they were talking, like I said, they were talking about the COVID thing. So they are not compelling, because you don't have to compel those the social media companies to do anything, because they're on board. But the government is using the government resources to monitor. I mean, they're public posts, yes, but to monitor and flag and send that information to, like, people at Facebook through their contacts or whatever, to, you know, shut that down, to, you know, fact check it, or, you know, whatever. You know, you better check this and get on this and get this discredited, or, you know, we can't let that go on, because social media spreads information so fast that you have to get it fast. And it's the government working with, basically, the way Dan Bongino put it was, they're deputizing these big media tech businesses. They're deputizing them to work and do what they're doing on behalf of what the government sends them. Well, that makes, in actuality, remember the lawsuit that Trump has against Twitter and Facebook and, you know, whatever else, that makes his lawsuit a slam dunk with that admission, because the government can't infringe on your free speech, which means they can't ask anybody else to do it on their behalf either. So they're trying to say, well, it's not us infringing, it's not the government infringing, it's the, you know, these, you know, it's these Facebook people. Yeah, but you're sending them the people who to censor and all that. So that should make the Twitter, the Trump versus Twitter, Trump versus Facebook, whatever, those lawsuits slam dunk. It really should, because this is they've just thrown it out the window. There's no Bill of Rights anymore, especially if you're spreading the big lie.
Right. Yeah.
So that is kind of scary.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is kind of scary. But like you said, that makes Trump's lawsuit a slam dunk, because they are infringing on your right to free speech. And a friend of mine tried to post something on Facebook in regards to the voter fraud, and he could not because Facebook wouldn't let him. It said that his post violated some guidelines or whatever that they had, so he couldn't post it, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact checkers that they oh, nice. Yeah, he already read the new book, American Marxism. Yes, I definitely want to get that book. Good job, Dana. That's a good one. So that just threw me right off. What was I just saying?
Yeah. I believe that I think Dana's on the line here.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Bring him on.
I think perfect this
time.
Is
I
Dana.
Forgot what I was going to say anyway, so.
Yeah, he threw you off. Let's see what we got here. Area code 843.
I told you guys, that's not how you make an old-fashioned. More bourbon, damn it, more bourbon. Excuse me, guys, I got to get the drink orders right before we get this thing started.
That's fine.
How are you guys?
You're awesome. It's so great to hear your voice. It's awesome. It really
hey,
is
Hey, first
great.
Of all, yeah, I've been out of the whole swing. Has anything happened in the last few years?
No.
I'm unaware because
yeah, no, nothing.
I was in rehab for a while, but, you know, whatever. I swear to God, guys, if we were to get either Vandergast or RZ, it'd be like the Beatles got back together tonight. This is pretty awesome, right? Getting the whole gang back together.
Yeah.
From the old days.
Well,
so,
Annie was on last week. She didn't call in, but she was in the chat last week.
She didn't call
week.
In? Yeah. Well, yeah. See, you know, we lurk down here in South
yeah.
Carolina where we're almost somewhat free, unlike some parts of the country.
That's true.
But, yeah, I must say it's great to hear you guys. I'm going to get all super serious, kind of, you know how Jerry Lewis used to do the super serious thing. G-Ski, man, I hope you're doing well. I know you're having the dialysis and everything, but, man, prayers to you because, you know, you are a great guy. And I do have one bone to pick with you. I watch CNN regularly, and there's no way you can get an ID on your own, okay? I've
That's
heard
what
that.
I told him.
So there's no way you voted, okay? Stop it.
That's what I told him. It was on our first show. I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, G-Ski, let me just go through all the ways of how stupid you are. And the funny part was, it was funny. If you listen to our first show, I think it was on our first show, he was kind of like, It's like, didn't know whether I was kidding or not. I'm like, hey, all right, come on.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I sit here and I watch this stuff, and I must say, you know, it's I hear a lot about racism. I hear a lot about that these days, and I'm thinking to myself, what is more racist than telling an entire group of people they're not smart enough to
Thank
live
you.
Their everyday life?
Thank
for
you. How'd they ever get this far in life? Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how Joe Biden got this far in life, but I must say that man at this point, you know. I watched him the other day, and I'm thinking, will somebody, for the love of God, put him out of my misery, okay? Will somebody do it? It's ridiculous at this point. He wanders around the stage, and that whispering thing,
oh,
is that,
was
not creepy or what?
That was, oh, you know what?
That was super
the funniest,
creepy.
The funniest part of that was when who was it? Oh, my God, Ben Shapiro. He says,
yes.
The only thing that would make that even funnier is if they tilted the camera at about 30 degrees when he did that.
Come on, man.
I started howling, and I texted G-Ski that exact thing.
I didn't, you know. And when you guys were talking earlier about, you know, the voter fraud, now I'm going to say something that I have said is very unpopular. But when you are an incumbent running and you actually increase your vote total by more than 8 million votes and you lose, that's never happened in American history, guys. Never.
Well, that was kind of the point the point that I was making earlier was they had to go so far to overcome that that they will eventually have exposed themselves to, you know, and it's not a pretty sight.
You don't want us exposing ourselves, Dave.
Right.
No, don't do that.
To people who will not accept the evidence, more and more people will start to.
Well, I had a, you know, you and I both are big Levin fans, and the first thing that I thought of, you know, being originally lived a long time in Pennsylvania, how the hell does the Secretary of State and the governor change election laws in a state? Gentlemen, that is the legislature's job. So
yeah,
that alone should have invalidated the election in Pennsylvania. Just that alone.
Well, which brings us to John Roberts.
He's the one that
could have done that. He knows that they would have won, but they just didn't take the case. Oh, you forgot to cross that T and dot that I. We're throwing it out.
Right.
What about the merits of the
case? And G-Ski, what is the guy's name, the secretary? Was it Raffensperger, that 1930s-looking German guy, that is whoever that is down there who comes out and says, there is no voting fraud. There is none.
No, that's Baghdad Bob.
I mean, my God, you know. And all we're saying is, and let me say this, guys, I mean, you know, if they are not afraid of the results, why would they not want us to just have a look, right?
Ding, 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 ding.
Right? Why wouldn't we just have – they could tell us all to shut up. We're stupid. There's no fraud. Look, they are fighting awful hard, aren't they?
They're fighting – and again, they're fighting too hard, you know, to make me believe that they believe that nothing's wrong.
You know, the Democrat Party right now reminds me of how I act when I lie to my wife. Okay, that's what they're doing. No, honey, no. God, don't look in there. No. It's okay. Don't look. I swear to God, nothing's going on. That's what it seems like to me at this point.
Mm-hmm. But then you spend the next 3 months wondering what I'm fine means, right?
Yeah. Hey, guys, how did we get here? I mean, I honest to God, I was, you know, I was not originally aboard the Trump train, I must admit to everybody out there, but he warmed to me quickly. And now I find myself longing for a Trump press conference. Anybody having sort of a Jones for a Trump press conference at this point? I miss it, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He would shut those guys up.
It was great.
Yeah. And I think what happened to me was I told you because I was out wandering the political wilderness. And, you know, I used to be on Team Republican. I was one of those guys. And I said, you know, what has the Republican Party done since Trump has done all that he has done and fought? All they do is fundraise, right? They send me fundraising letters every other week. They don't fight, but they want to fundraise off of it.
Yep.
So grow a set, guys, and let's get in this fight.
Yeah, because they're
exactly.
all the checked pants, you know, country club mm-hmm. Republicans that they just do it just like the others do to get into power. And there's a bunch of things that we need to do to route them out and put in people who are actually there to actually represent people, not themselves. Right now, our Congress represents the government to us.
Absolutely.
Which is opposite of what it's supposed to be. So.
I have sat here many times, guys, and I weep for my country. I know you guys too. You're great patriots, and you see what's going on around you. We live in clown world now. I'm supposed to accept the fact that there are 57 genders, you know, that we are not allowed to call people out for, as instance, our supposed vice president with the whole, listen, I've never been to Europe either answer. What the hell is that, right? She's supposed to go to the border. Doesn't go or goes to El Paso, go to the section of the border where people are crossing in numbers that we've never seen. You know, I work in healthcare.
Right.
We're talking about the virus of unspecified origin. Well, you know, while we're talking about all the things they're forcing Americans to do, we've opened up the border to people who are infected, put them on buses and planes and ship them to the middle of America. You know, what the hell are we doing, guys, is what I'm asking, right? We need to get serious. And that comes from a guy who's rarely ever serious. You know me. But it's time to start having these conversations. And the voter fraud thing has to be talked about, because if we are ever going to remedy the situation, we got to get back to normal, right? We've got to understand what is at stake.
That's one of the things that's going on. As hard as they're fighting against, you know, whatever you were just talking about, they're fighting against states that that change their voting laws and even change them back to what it was pre-COVID. So why
right.
pre-COVID weren't those laws racist then? You didn't think of it? What? I mean, if you didn't think of
well,
it, then it's probably fine. You know, if it didn't strike
you
as being racist before COVID, but now after COVID, hey, look, all these things that we put into place because of COVID, hey, it worked for us.
Right.
Let's keep them in place.
Listen, guys, we're facing an existential threat greater than the Civil War. Okay.
Here.
Don't you understand?
Thank you, Joe.
It's bigger than the Civil War. And when I hear about racism, what really kills me is that this nation had made such great progress in terms of race relations until we elected our first half-black president.
I know.
Okay? Yeah. I'm going to be controversial on your show tonight, guys, but that's the way it goes.
No, we have
and
in
all
the
of
show
a sudden,
notes. We have in the show notes yeah. that will probably be canceled soon.
Yeah,
we're
going to
be we're going to be
you know
banned.
What, take it as a badge of honor, guys.
I do.
I mean, honest to God, it's you know, I never thought about race until they bring it up all the time. Right. It never occurs to me, you know, when I was a young man, it was never thought of. We, you know, interracial marriages were not that uncommon, and we just never thought about it. And now it's like we have to talk about it all the time. And listen,
well, now it's being taught in schools.
Yes, caught in schools. It's now I hear now the NFL is going to continue to play the black national anthem, which I wasn't sure there was a black nation. Am I missing something? No, it's this kind of stuff that just pisses me off, guys. Right? The things that used to unify us, right? G-Ski sports, we could unify around sports. I don't care political views, where you come from. That kind of stuff could unify us. And they are even attacking those things, right?
Yep.
And it's disheartening to see that.
Well, that's what Marxism
yeah.
does. You just read it corrupts everything, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you haven't read that book, my God, it is not only laying out the history of this stuff, so you'll be well-armed with information when you have to go to work like I do and talk to my stupid lib coworkers who are okay with this stuff, and you look at them every day and you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, do you not understand this was the greatest experiment in liberty ever conceived by man?
And it worked.
You guys were throwing it away, right?
Hey, let me ask you a question. This is important.
Sure. Go ahead.
About the book. I found that the more he talked about critical theory, the more I realized it validated the stuff that I put in my book like 4 years ago.
Absolutely, man. You were ahead of the curve on some of this stuff when you were talking about it. And you know what this is, guys?
Let me ask my question because I don't know if he just misspeaks.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the Franklin School in Germany back when this all started.
He certainly does.
Yes. I thought it was the Frankfurt School.
It was the Frankfurt School. I think that sometimes when he speaks on the air, if you've heard him on the air, sometimes he'll misspeak. But
okay.
he did mean
right.
in the book it's mentioned as the Frankfurt School. He talks
okay,
about
good.
That.
All right, good. All right. See,
absolutely.
All right. That, oh.
Absolutely.
I'm good. I'm really good now because I'm thinking, is there another school that I get
another one?
And now, you know, whatever you do, do like a Google search, you can't find any of that stuff now, you know, not the stuff that
no,
I
No, they
found.
Just grow
that.
It's the Franklin DeVry Institute. I don't know, but they were horrible people that we brought over here.
Columbia.
Yeah. Listen, the book lays it out, and, you know, like you were saying, though, your material years ago, you were onto this stuff, and you spoke it very eloquently about
psyched.
It.
I was like, oh, man, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And
what he ties together is what we're going through is basically what the Chinese did with their whole cultural revolution. That's what we're going through right now in America.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy history. Get rid of it. We'll pull down statues. We'll just disassemble history, throw everything away so we can reimagine our society.
Mm-hmm. Reimagine.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, you know, we were talking about this years ago. I sat down the other day, I have to say, and I pulled up a bunch of the old shows. Because, you know, I miss you guys sometimes, you know, honest to God.
Wow.
And sometimes I'll listen and I'll make,
I miss
what?
You too, but
I
never went that far.
Well, you know what, Dave? I'm going to say something, and GSD, you too. I'm going to pat us on the back. We were ahead of the curve, guys. We were talking about 8-9 years ago that these people are now on to. And, you know, I think I don't understand sometimes, you know, where credit, give credit where credit's due, whatever. But there were a lot of guys, you, Dave, and I know G-Ski talking about things. I remember G-Ski and I having a conversation about race many years ago. He came on my show.
Yes.
We did a whole show just having a conversation about race and about the nature of that. We did that years ago, right? And they act like we've never had these conversations, guys. Right? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who was the attorney general with Obama?
Holder.
Yeah.
Holder.
He's the one that said, he was the one that said, we need to start having a conversation about race. Well,
I remember what G-Ski said to me. And we had this big conversation, and he said to me at the end, and I'll never forget this, and G-Ski, God bless you when you said this. You said, listen to me, Whitey, you're never going to get it. And I never forgot that, G-Ski.
Oh, my God. If you ain't black, you don't get it. If you don't get it, you don't get it.
You don't get it.
Okay, for all the folks listening, that was a joke, okay?
You got to put a disclaimer on humor these days. My God, you know? Let me tell you guys something. You know, years ago I told you, you know, one of my big influences in humor was Don Rickles. He was my hero when I grew up. And, you know, he just went out and said stuff and just laid it out there, and it was a joke, right? Laugh a little bit at yourself. It's okay, right? The idea that if you say something that's humorous, you're racist. I mean, G-Ski, my God, you know, you understand, we laugh at ourselves. Liberals have no sense of humor. That's their problem. And that's the problem with the world right now. Humor is necessary. It really, really is.
It really is. And they're so all consumed with hate. And when you have hate, there's nothing funny.
Right.
Nothing is
funny. And by the way, let me put this to your audience, Dave. I just picked on a dude who's on dialysis. Let that sink in.
Yeah, I know. I know. I do it. I do it every freaking time. I every chance I get.
And by the way, that joke at the beginning, Dave, was precious. The whole flush joke. Yeah, I did think that was something weird. I Googled it, and I got something totally different.
I bet you did. Getting his radiator flushed. Yeah, he likes that one too. He likes it.
Yeah, I like that one too. But, yeah, that's what's happening.
Well, he'll say, "Hey, can you take over the show for a few minutes? I gotta disconnect on there." So then I start taking over the show, and I explain, you know, he just got his radiator flushed, and then he'll pop back on. And then get something to say. No, I just wanted to laugh at that. He said,
"No, now I did hear a show a while back. So let me ask a question because I heard some of your past shows. I've been catching up." And I, as I understand, G-Ski, are you a grandfather? Is that what I heard, or did I misinterpret that? What I heard.
Well, he was already a grandfather, but
again, you know, is that what I heard? Yeah. Well, congratulations. May I say?
Almost. But, not yet.
It was a false alarm.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
do
you blame the kid? Do you blame the kid? You're in there. You're floating around in warm water. It's beautiful. Come on. They pull you out. They smack you around. They rough you up with towels, and you're $200,000 in debt. Come on. I'd stay in if I could. Okay.
Further than that. No. Further in debt than that. I'd burn.
No. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I said online, I put on Twitter, and I mean this. I saw you guys were back on. I'm like, you know, maybe America has a chance. Guys like you get together and talk about the issues. That's what it takes. You know, we can't leave it to the mainstream media and the Don Lemons of the world, who he's precious, by the way. We got to leave it to individual patrons. You know, much like Thomas Paine years ago, common sense, right?
So this is what he did to me yesterday. Okay, gee, I'm going to tell this story. All right, because it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I'm up in bed, and I'm getting ready to go to sleep, and then I get this text, right? I'm scrolling TikTok or something, I don't know. And I get this text from G-Ski. It says, "I'm sad," and it's got this little sad face thing, you know, the yellow emoji, sad emoji. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, what's up? He's like, "You don't need me anymore for the show."
Oh, my God.
He goes like that, right? And I'm like, and I was like, bullshit. I said, you know, this is your show. You're not going anywhere. no, no, all your solo shows are so good. You know, so like I dialed him up and I'm like, you're not quitting on me. You're not
yeah,
quitting.
By the way, G-Ski, see if they can run some testosterone to that dialysis machine for you there, brother. Okay? You know, whatever you need, grow a set. Okay? What the hell's wrong with you?
So today I said to him, G-Ski, before the show, I was like, all right, listen, it was like right before the show, you know, the 5-second countdown or whatever. I was like, so I thought about it today, and you can quit if you want, but you still have to pay the Blog Talk Radio subscription.
That's right. Kind of like alimony, G-Ski. You're paying, buddy. That's it. That's the way that works. You know, when I came on, you know, you two guys are like, I go way back with you guys. I mean, people who are listening probably don't know. I mean, I got on Blog Talk Radio. You were some of the first people I got in contact with. And, you know, the thing, and I'm saying this in all honesty, you guys are very talented. You know, you've written G-Ski. I mean, I don't know if people know that this man is actually a musical talent as well. Put that stuff out there. And they were very kind to me when I was getting started and I had no idea how to do a show whatsoever. They were very kind and supportive. And, you know, that's what I think we need in the conservative movement is that kind of, you know, supportive community, you know, people getting their voice out there. And you know, I don't know if that happens a lot. I've been away for a while. You know, I don't know what's going on out there in the world of Blog Talk Radio. But I hope that people understand, and G-Ski used to use this word a lot, family. Right, we were this weird family. It was weird, right? We were all disparate
yes.
people, but we were a family. And I think that's what we need, guys. We need to build that family, make it even stronger, take it nationwide. If we're going to win this battle,
we have the in the show opener. Welcome to the family. Bringing it, boy. Just checked in with us. What's up? Bringing It Boy is in California, right? With
God yeah. bless them. God with, help them.
What's his wife's name?
Which is wife Suzette.
Suzette, yeah. What's up, guys? Hey, listen, if you're just joining us, we got a fantastic guest that agreed to call in. his name is Dana, and he's the Conservative Watchtower in the chat room, and he's an amazing guy.
You can see me.
Yeah, you can see him. He looks like a tall phallic symbol or something.
Tall phallic symbol. And by the way, I usually start my conversations out with, "Hello, I'm Dana, and I'm an alcoholic." But that's a different story for a different time, guys.
Hello, Dana.
Know, for the whole thing. Hello. Yeah. You guys are great. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, you miss that camaraderie. It's kind of like back when you play sports, right? When you leave sports, you don't necessarily, you know, I played football. You don't necessarily miss all the beating up and the injuries. You miss that camaraderie, right, that you have with the other guys. You have that common purpose that you're trying to get to. That's what you miss. And I hope people understand this is a rarity in the world today. You know, technology is a double-edged sword, right? They use it against us, but yeah, we have this opportunity to put our voice out there. And I know you guys have done, I encourage everybody, listen, if you've thought about doing it, getting on Twitter, getting on Blog Talk Radio, do it. Put your ideas out. You know,
well,
I think that's what we need, guys.
The approach that I had, and I, you know, I think I've talked about it with G-Ski, and it's, you know, it's kind of, we realize that we're not on, you know, on a par with like, the big radio talk shows or even some of the other
right.
big podcasters, but
right.
we're on a level that other people are on, and we can talk, we talk amongst ourselves. We talk back and forth. We have ideas and we play them out. And at the level that we're on, you know, mm-hmm. we're putting our thumb on our side of the scale to offset
yeah.
anything anybody else, you know, is got going on. So it's
yeah.
it's not like I'm trying to go out there and be, you know, an influencer. I'm just trying to throw some
okay.
throw some wood on my side of the scale and
exactly.
try to balance out the stuff that's, you know, the pablum and the crap and the other BS that's being thrown out
right.
there.
Right.
You know, any media narrative talking point, I've talked about this a number of times, has been. You know, it's like figure the opposite. of whatever they try to say it is, just go the exact opposite is what it really is and what it really does. So,
right. Well, but it's always been that way for us. You know, the thing I say is everybody's concerned, I guess, nowadays you talk about being a YouTube influencer or social influencer. All I'm concerned about, guys, is I can change one person's mind, right? I go to work. I'm out in my community. I can change one person's viewpoint. I consider that to be a huge victory. That's how you do it. One mind at a time, right? If you guys get successful, and I have every doubt, if people listen to you because you guys are immensely talented. I love the banter. Always have. You guys will be successful on a bigger scale. But if you guys change a few minds, you've been successful and you're in this fight. That's what it's about. And
that's what inspired the Think for Yourself segment that we do.
Yeah.
That I go to when I'm by myself and I have nothing else to talk about.
And G-Ski's over there slobbering on dialysis, whatever the hell he's doing over there. I don't know, guys. He's a sick man, and I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for him at this point. I feel very bad for him. And
I'm in.
You know, I actually, the only thing I've ever said, guys, real quick, and I don't know if this can ever happen, but I said this years ago, there has to be some kind of summit that happens somewhere where we all finally get face to face, right? We all see each other, meet each other for, you know, in person, because, you know, I've always wondered what would it be like to hang out with you guys, just hang out and have a conversation in person. And we got to make that happen at some point. Okay.
That sounds awesome.
I don't know what that would take, but we need to do that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, and I say this for people who listen to the show, if people are new to the show and you don't know these guys, this is not the first time they've done this. They've been doing this a long time ago. I don't want to say how many years back. They've always been in the game. And I know, Dave, for a while you had issues. I know you had a business. Wasn't it for a while you were having issues with and you had to handle that? G-Ski has had all kinds of things happen, I think, health-wise. And, you know, I want you guys to know that I still, G-Ski, every day, still remember you in the prayers, brother, because I know you've had some health issues. And even though we don't talk all the time, I mean, it's only been, what, like 6 years or something. You know, nothing ridiculous, right? Just about 6 years. I still think
six
about
and
you
a
guys
half.
All the time and all those guys that we used to have on those programs. I actually did see Andy here recently. We do live in the same community. But it's just, you know, I miss that sometimes. I miss those old groups of guys getting together, having a laugh, talking about important issues. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I hope people realize what a rarity it is to have a group of people.
Bringing it, boy, just put it in the chat room. He said, that would be fun.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, if that ever happens, we're going to have bail money ready to go. I'm just saying, from my standpoint alone, you don't know how I act in public.
Well,
so
you were talking about you were just talking about a GoFundMe page, so let's set it up.
Yes.
And, you know,
proactive. Listen, you know, but the thing is that, you know, and I speak to this from a long time ago, and you guys have this character about you, G-Ski and Dave. I didn't know you from a hole in the wall, but you embraced me, and we talked a lot, and we talked outside of the Blog Talk community. And, you know, we were growing that a bit. We were having some success with that. And then, you know, life happens. I get that. We're not professional broadcasters. We've got things we've got to take care of. But, you know, I would like to think back in the day that we made a little bit of an influence and a little bit of a difference back in the day. And,
yeah, I think so. Yep.
You guys certainly have taught me a lot over the years. And,
you contributed a lot as well. You contributed.
Well, I'm
a
degenerate, Dave. That's easy to do. I'm a degenerate guy.
No, stand-up comedy
back in the day. So that's easy to do.
Well,
and
that,
what is,
I mean,
you know?
Okay, no, I got nothing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, listen. Let's pick on G-Ski since he's the minority guy on dialysis. Let's pick on him for a while, shall we? Let's do that, America.
What? Yeah.
What the hell?
He hasn't had enough yet.
And G-Ski, I got to ask you, down in Georgia, I mean, this whole situation, because you were talking about it earlier and you're on the front lines, you said you have even contacted the Justice Department. I mean, how widespread do you think that voter fraud was, brother? How bad do you think it actually was?
How do you measure it?
Yeah, I mean, Are we talking about – I know the actual cover was 12,000. I mean, how much did Trump win the state, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I believe that he won by – it had to be over 30,000 votes.
No.
I was going to say
maybe,
one or 2 million. One or 2 million, I bet.
Yeah, I'd
say one or two, yeah. Man.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so, but I mean, he lost by 13,000 votes. And just with the voter fraud that we're talking about now, he would have overcame that quite easily.
Right. Wow. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, I expected he did, and I sat there election night, guys, and it really didn't even have, like, all of these things that they're talking about now, but I'm thinking to myself, listen, Americans usually vote with their pocketbooks, right? We can ignore a lot, but when you're doing well, you typically want that to continue. I found it hard to believe that Trump lost just because we were booming, and we were a force around the world again, right? And, mm-hmm. and we weren't having the problems that we have today, and I think people felt secure. For that alone, I thought there were shenanigans. Okay,
right.
That alone. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And there was another point that I was going to talk about, and then I got you know what? Lost it. Sorry.
And then Dana came in and screwed the entire show up, which is what I'm good at doing.
I mean, you threw off my groove. I could have got my notes that I wrote. They don't make sense to me now. So
that's what I do.
Maybe the honey
I just come in, screw everything up. Ask my wife; she'll tell you. I screw everything up all the time.
Probably the honey whiskey has something to do with it, but
yeah, probably yeah. Yeah,
yeah, me and Dave talked about this earlier, and it was. The COVID-19 thing was exactly what they needed to to perpetrate this whole entire fraud thing. Because here in Georgia, they put out ballot boxes, I mean, just all over the place. You know, and many of the laws were changed by the Secretary of State, which that's illegal. Yeah, that's illegal. But yeah,
right.
they had all these they had these ballot boxes everywhere, and one of the things that a friend of mine at my job, we were talking about this. Now this is before COVID even happened. This is before COVID even happened. A friend of mine, he would drop stuff off in the mailboxes in front of the post office or wherever, you know, in the mailboxes, and people started breaking in to the mailboxes, right? So he said, you know what? I'm gonna put my mail in the mailbox that's at the post office, right in front of the post office. The post office told them. Said, hey, stop putting your stuff in there because they break into that one too. If you want to put stuff, if you want to mail stuff, bring it directly into the post office because we can't protect these boxes. That's before COVID. Now, they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ballot boxes that they put around the state because of COVID. Mm-hmm. That was their excuse, and there were no way to secure any of these ballot boxes. So, yeah, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of votes. Mm-hmm. A lot of fraud going on right there.
Well, I remembered what I wanted to ask you, G. Ski. I remember. Okay, I got my train of thought back. It kind of derailed momentarily, but I got it back.
Sorry, Dave.
You should be. You're trying to do it again, aren't you? No, so the question is this. Given what has now been revealed regarding the ballots illegally cast / harvested / whatever mailed in without creases in Georgia, where does that leave, if you know, because I haven't heard. I had like a rumor. The Georgia Senate runoff race. I heard that with all the votes that they were able to like eliminate, that there wouldn't even have been a runoff, and that the Republican guy would have won. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. That is same thing happened. Same thing has transpired. Because David Perdue, which is the Republican who lost, had a super, super comfortable lead. But they were, well, the only county that hasn't really reported is Fulton County. And like I said before, Fulton County always has issues. And
so they were waiting on the mail-in ballots, right?
Right. That's what they said.
They're waiting
on the mail-in ballots.
And the way that works is they wait to see how many mail-in ballots they need. And then they arrange.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So everything shifted. It shifted by some 26,000 votes. And you can't tell me that this guy and the guy who won, Ossoff, he's run before against David Perdue and he's lost very badly. What changed this time? I don't know. Well, we do know, but you know, it shifted by more than 26,000 votes. And you can't tell me that this guy Ossoff secured more 26,000 votes. You can't tell me that all the votes were for him, and there were none for David Perdue.
So statistically, historically, and even the law of averages go against everything that happened that day.
First of all, Dave, math is racist, so stop it, okay? Stop doing that.
Sorry, G.
You can't talk about math, okay? Don't do that.
Sorry, G.
And I think the people in Georgia must have got confused with the election, and they thought it was the who can beat his wife worst contest, and that's how Raphael Warnock got elected. Am I wrong on that, G-Ski? I'm sorry if I was
G-Ski was
terrible.
When did you stop beating your wife?
Did you stop? Yes. Or even worse than beating your wife, when did you stop going to Fidel Castro speeches and cheering? That would be another question I'd have for Raphael Warnock.
Yeah.
You know? Right? Because as you know, guys, the people in Cuba are not revolting against the horrible communism. Their problem is COVID-19. That's
right, because they can't get medicine, they can't get the vaccine,
they can't get the medicines.
I don't know how many TikToks I saw trashing the BLM lady that was saying that they're protesting not being able to get medicine and food because of the American embargo, and they were like, no, because. Right. The embargo does not include medicine, and this is what they receive from us.
I just, you know, this whole past year, listen, you know, I have this theory, guys. You know, they've been talking about releasing information about UFOs, right? You hear this all the time.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they're doing that is because we now as humanity have reached peak stupidity, and the aliens are going to come and destroy us. That's what's going to happen. They looked at us and go, look, these people got nuclear weapons. No, we need to end this right now and get rid of it. So BLM and the whole, you know, mostly peaceful protest as buildings are burning in the backgrounds. I haven't been on with you guys in a while, but, you know, I personally looked at that. I was shocked by that. And then we're talking about insurrections, which is pretty funny. I like the language of insurrections. A dude in a Viking hat roaming around the Capitol building is an insurrection, right? Meanwhile, cities are burning, right? And we don't say a word
problem,
about it.
Man. That's not the thing. That's no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
Nothing to see here.
But I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, the whole concept of this Democrat Party, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, born in the roots of racism and Confederacy and slavery, if I'm not wrong, I believe I am right about that. And now they've switched over to they're the party of minorities, right, whether it be people from other countries or for Black Americans. And it's just an amazing switch they've made. Right?
Well, I live
in West Virginia, I am well familiar with Senator Robert Byrd. So
explain
that away, if you could.
Okay, I got it. I have your explanation.
Mm.
Okay. They are the party of – what did you call them? What did you say? Minorities? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the minorities or people of color or people of whatever you say.
Oppressed
people.
As long as they vote Democrat. They are the party of what was the other thing?
Right. Is that why the Cubans are not allowed to Cuban come here? Because they might vote Republican? Right? Or something like that?
Mr. Levin, thank you.
Levin is savage. For those people who don't listen to Mark Levin, what the hell's wrong with you? First of all,
he's got three outlets going on now, so check him out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely cool.
But seriously, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm not a Black person. I'm the whitest person in the world. If you saw a picture of me, you'd be like,
"It's me."
There's no whiter person in the world. But I look at people, you know, I never see somebody by their color. I admired Martin Luther King greatly, and I went by that whole content of their character thing that he was talking about. Like, we should take people as an individual. Right?
Well, now that's racist.
And it's racist to say that. I mean, Martin Luther King today, would he be disavowed by the Democrat Party?
Yes.
I think he might be.
Yes, he would definitely. He would be assassinated.
Yes, he would.
Oh, by the way, let me do a Joe Biden thing. Martin Luther King was a Republican. Shh, don't tell anybody. Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Dana, I'm going to have to dispute what you said just a minute ago about being the whitest man. Did you forget that Dave lives in New Hampshire? There's no sun up there. They don't get any sun. So I'm sorry,
but you're correct.
He calls me white. He calls me white.
I do live here in South Carolina. I lay poolside. I do get a little tan. And so, and I did the 23andMe thing. I've got some African descent in the 23andMe thing, G-Ski. So I'm just letting you know. We're up. That's it.
You guys, it's July. I got 2 inches of snow still up here. So
you're snowing. The only thing I ever used to think about, Dave, when you say you're from New Hampshire, if you guys have ever seen the great movie, What About Bob? Have you guys seen the Bill Murray movie? And all I ever think of is when he's trying to find out where the doctor's living, he comes up with that great line, New Hampshire? And I think of you every time I think of that, Dave. I think Dave lives in New Hampshire?
Yeah. That was a great Bill Murray.
Great Bill Murray movie, by the way. And the audience who's listening, look how quickly we move to nonsensical things. It just happens. It just does.
I need to fill. G-Ski, why don't you play us a promo, okay? Give me a second here.
Okay.
All right.
It's time anyway.
Yeah, Dana,
so,
can you stick with us? I am
absolutely
an absolute blast.
Absolutely.
All right, he's gonna play a couple promos. We'll be back in a couple minutes. So, what do you want to hear? You remember the Bacon Zone song? You remember the Wives of BTR? What do you want to hear? We got all that stuff from back again.
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
We're gonna do both. We're gonna do the Bacon Song and the Wives of BTR. just so Dana can reminisce.
There you go.
Absolutely. Do it, brother. Bring it to me.
All right. All right. So we're gonna take a quick break, people, and we'll be back.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When we do Internet talk radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet talk radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
Are you gonna stay up all night? You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that dumbass radio show? You're not the only one that lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
Can't you see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd rather you got over yourself. Put an end to all this righteous indignation. Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along. And from war enjoy permanent vacation.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, an entertaining show. Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Dave and G-Ski Rocks show. I am one of your hosts, G-Ski Rocks and the place to be. And then we got Dave the man.
Yo.
Who's the other guy? Real quick, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. And if you got something to say, all you got to do is hit the one on your dial pad, and that will let us know that you want to chime in and talk and all this other good stuff. Right now on the line, we have one of our homies. I call him a homie, but he's a white guy. But he's one of my homies. He's an alcoholic. He's a comedian, and he was a Blog Talk Radio host. And it's been probably six and a half years since we've talked to him. But Dana Smearman, he's a great guy, and he's in the house with us too.
I'm in the house.
We're reminiscing about the good old days.
Back in the day.
So what's
happening? That's
yeah,
what
back
old people
in the day.
Do, we reminisce.
Yeah. And we're definitely old now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You have no idea, guys. It's not the years, it's the mileage. Okay? That's what it is.
I'm and the mileage you. Comes from the bourbon.
Oh, my God, yeah, guys. Come on. You know, it's ridiculous. When we started doing this whole thing years ago, I wasn't drinking as much, and then the Obama years came, and my bourbon consumption went up by like 25, 30, 40%. And, that's what happened.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Ask
you a question. Did your wife, like, tell you stuff like, you don't need that? What do you need that for?
No, my wife is very much an enabler, so that's always good. As long as I go to work and pay the Amazon bill, she doesn't care, guys. Let's be honest. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got to have that Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So you need to deliver it, so, you know.
And listen, you know what? I found out, like, during the pandemic, they'll deliver anything, including the booze. I'm like, I'm never leaving my house again.
That's awesome.
Right? But next year, I'm going to say this. You know, I know, G-Ski, you have some medical issues. I'm calling it right now. We need to plan this out. where we need to have some kind of a summit where we come to G-Ski. I'm not that far from you, brother. You know, I live on the coast of South Carolina. We need to have some kind of summit because my whole thing since I started talking to you years ago was I want to see you face-to-face. I want to shake your hand, you too, Dave, because I've never met you in person. We need to start planning this now when we make this happen, okay? And for all you Blog Talk people who followed us for years, you're all invited as well. I want to see people in person, you know? Isn't it interesting that we've talked, we've had all kinds of intricate conversations, but we've never met in person? You know?
That's right.
We need to make that happen.
We know each other in everything but the biblical sense, so that's all that's left. Right?
The biblical sense. And Dave, stop it. Okay, I'm heterosexual. Stop it. Stop.
Okay. Did I say that? Sorry. I sometimes get down to Florida. So.
And by the way, you guys know I live in South Carolina. Anytime any of you Blog Talk Radio people are free to stop at the home, I have a pool in the backyard and plenty of booze. So, you know, it's a good place to stop if you're going up and down I-95. So you're always welcome to come in. Dave, you especially.
South Carolina.
Absolutely. Yeah, call me. Hit me up, and I'll put you up for the night. And I swear to God. You know, we have actually now in my house, I don't know how you guys do this, we actually have bourbon-flavored bourbon, okay? Not the vanilla, the cherry, whatever. We have bourbon-flavored bourbon for men, and that's what we do. But you're all welcome to come.
I'll have to take you up on that offer. My daughter, my oldest daughter, lives in North Carolina. So,
okay.
You know, we head up that way to see her. So it only makes sense to stop by.
You know, the thing, guys, and I mean this sincerely, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the old days. And I consider you guys friends, even though we haven't spoken in, 6 years, right? I still consider you guys good friends. And anything that I could ever do for you guys, if it's, you know, you want to come here for
you're not
going to
start
bawling
on us. You're not going to – you've had – all right, slow down with the drinking.
Dave,
all right?
You know I'm attracting you physically. Dave, I've seen the picture. You're an attractive man. That's all I'm going to say right here on the radio. No, you know, it's because early on, you know, when I was in the Blog Talk radio business early on, you guys really helped out, you know. Some people were disingenuous. Some people were frauds. I won't mention their name, but you know who I'm talking about. But you guys were always sincere, and you helped out. Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. Let me tell you this little secret that I have had all these years. I was so jealous of you and your show.
Well, I don't know why. I had like 6 listeners a week. What the hell are you talking about?
You had a great – no, I am – dead serious, okay? I'm not getting that. I'm just saying. I was very jealous because you...
Uh-oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell is that noise? Have we killed G-Ski? What the hell happened?
No, that's his machine saying, get the hell off. That's his machine. So it may just be me and you for a second. So while he
go ahead, do that.
Extracts himself. But in any case... I really enjoyed your show because you had a whole lot of you did prep. You did like some serious show prep and you presented your show. You had sound bites, you had, you know, commentary about it, and I was like, man, I don't know how we can think to do all that, you know? I mean, I could do it if somebody was like,
I had influences. You know, Dave, it's like we all have in the business. We have influences. And, of course, Levin, a huge influence.
But, oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, back in the day, you know, there were a lot of guys that did radio. Back when I lived in Pittsburgh, there were 2 guys that did a morning show on WDBE, which is the big FM station. And I loved the way they did their skits, their programs. And I just took the influence, and I said, what if we do that, but we put a political slant to it, right? What if we use comedy and humor and do that? But I'll be honest with you, you know, I did what I did. I was like kind of a punk, to be honest with you. I didn't get a lot of listens. I did what I did. But I felt like, you know, you have to be original. That's what you have to be in this business. And the people who are ultimately successful, that's what they do. Now, you guys have done, like, you wrote a book. I couldn't write a book because I have ADD. And I have no comprehension of the English language.
That's a double problem.
You have made that abundantly clear tonight. So go ahead.
Absolutely. And G-Ski, you know, G-Ski, I used to love the fact that this man, I don't know what G-Ski does now, but at one time, you know, an eminently talented musician. You know, get out there and look at some of those old YouTube videos he used to put out.
Oh yeah,
I was actually enamored with you guys.
He's a DJ. He's the man.
Yeah.
He gets gigs a lot, which is why I end up doing the show a lot. So
you do the show, you know. But like you guys were always very nice to me, and you kind of helped me early on because I had no idea what a show was supposed to be. Right, I had no idea. And then what I will tell people, if you're interested in doing Blog Talk Radio or any kind of YouTube, whatever, the biggest thing you can do is be yourself, right?
Yep.
Do you. Don't try to imitate somebody else. Be yourself. And you'll be successful at least to a certain point. And I'm glad you're back, Jay, because I thought you were in witness protection. I didn't know what the hell happened to you for a while. But
I got busy. I went into, you know, it was like when I was right, I ended up. I ended up with two books now. The other one is called Reality Is Not Optional, and it's like the ceaseless battle for individual liberty, something like that. I don't have it. I don't even have a copy of it in front of me. I lent it out, my copy, and you know how that goes. So I have to get myself another copy of that. But I have it on the computer, but I don't have a paperback of it. So. And that's where I got into, like, deep into the critical theory and the Frankfurt School. I stumbled on it, and I was like, holy crap, this is important. I mean, I did a lot of the communism stuff in the first book, in the Stay Mad, but the second book, unbelievable, where I was like, okay, this is where it is. This is where it started. And I got into a lot of that. That's why when I was hearing Levin talk about the Franklin School, you know, I was hoping it was just a misspeak. So thank you so much.
It truly was. But you know, Dave, I will say this. I mean, it takes a lot, I'm sure, to sit down, research a book, write a book. I do not have the ability, the attention to do that. I can't do that sort of thing. You know, I'm more of a I guess, and G-Ski, you can speak to this, you're in music. I'm more of a jazz musician. I kind of riff, right? I kind of get a topic and I riff with it, right?
Yeah.
And to sit down and actually have to write a book chapter by chapter and, you know, you've got to have end notes and all that kind of stuff, that is not my cup of tea at all. But, you know, Stay Mad was great, and if you guys haven't seen any of that stuff, you should get that. Is it still available, Dave?
It's still available at lulu.com. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. We call that a promo in the business, kids, if you're listening out there. That's a promo. Right?
Go to lulu.com and just type in Stay Mad, or you can type in Reality Is Not Optional.
But the thing about certain people, and may I say,
no,
this,
you know what that's called, Dana? That's called grapefruit.
Well, that's right. We just pop that out, right? We're in the biz, Dave. We know how to do this, right? We're professionals. But I want to say really quick, you know, there are people in this business, and you see this in the conservative movement. There are a lot of grifters in this business. I think you guys would agree with that, right?
Yep.
People that come along and they don't really believe in what they're talking about. I want everyone listening to know that these two guys you're listening to tonight, they believe everything they say. They're not grifters. They're in this for the long term. They love their country.
Yeah, it's not a fad.
And they want to make
it
great.
It's not a passing thing. It's not what's hip or what's chic right now. What's chic right now is progressivism and communism. Unfortunately, that's what's chic right now. It's been made chic to attract people who are attracted to trendy things for no other reason than because it's trendy.
They're dumb. They're just dumb people.
Yeah,
if you guys actually believe that anything that these people are selling you is real, you're dumb. I'm sorry. If you're listening tonight and you're a socialist, and I don't know why you'd be listening tonight, because what we have is a drunk guy, a really smart guy, and a guy on dialysis. So what the hell are you doing here tonight? I have no idea. But if you're listening, you're dumb, okay?
By the way, it's
free
me
will
that's a drunk guy, so I'm the drunk guy, by the
way. We're both drunk. And probably G-Ski is, too, because quite honestly, if you think about it, the best way to be drunk is if you're on dialysis. Come on. Bacon bourbon, buddy. Right?
Yeah.
From years ago. But you guys, you know, like I said before, we've been talking about all this stuff, and we need to continue to do that. That's why I was so glad to see you guys back broadcasting. Sue from New Mexico, if you're out there, sweetheart, that's how I found out you guys were back. She tweeted it out. Every once in a while, I checked my Twitter account, and I saw you guys had a show. I'm like, what the hell? These two are back together?
She's on the line.
Listen.
She's on the line. She's not.
Well, you know, I love her to death. She's a sweetheart and a patriot. And
all
God, I can't say enough good things about Sue. You know that.
Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed.
And if you listen some of my solo shows, she calls in at the end and bails me out and gives me someone to talk to.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? That's what I used to do for G Ski Show. I won't tell you, but that's what I used to do. I used to help him out when he was floundering.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to start picking all that stuff back up, the stuff that I did years ago with the music and everything else. I'm picking all that stuff back up. I've become very complacent. I've used dialysis as an excuse to stop doing a lot of stuff.
No, in fairness, it's a pretty good freaking excuse.
That's a pretty good one, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just saying, no one.
That's true.
All right. So this is just between you and you, because no one else will fault you for.
Somebody wants to say, "Hey, G-Ski, quit being a lazy bum on dialysis. Come on." Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've put down a lot of stuff, which is also why I ended the radio shows some years ago, and I just have to pick that stuff back up again because it's extreme to watch where the country is going. And, you know, we had our feet planted pretty – our feet were planted pretty sturdy in the ground back in the days. You know, I mean, we made a lot of headway. You know, back then when we were doing a show, we had the Tea Party Patriots behind us.
Right.
I did a lot of stuff with them, and all of a sudden they just fell off. Where did they go?
Well,
you know, I mean, I fell off because I had health problems and stuff like that.
Right.
But I mean, the Tea Party was strong, and the Tea Party was making lots of headway. We were doing good things, and we were fighting up against these Marxists and communists, and all of a sudden, they disappeared. And
I think because many people took up the brand of the Tea Party, and they turned out not to be Tea Party. I'm talking people like Adam Kinzinger and these people who ran on the Tea Party movement and turned out to be charlatans. And I think people got dispirited. And that's not an excuse, because we got to keep fighting on. But I think that's kind of what happened with the Tea Party movement.
Yeah. I think that is probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to be, you know, a little more distinguished in you know, who we get behind. You know, look at their track record and look at their voting record, and you know, whatever record they can provide. I mean, Trump obviously didn't have a record for people to look at, but when he started doing things, he started moving the embassy. You know, I mean, how many presidents have done that or have said they were going to do that?
Dave, how about this? How about a president who didn't start a new war? How about that?
Well, exactly.
Not one new conflict.
That's one of the ones that I was getting to. You know, ending cold ones. You know, and ending them. But here's what he never gets any credit for. One of the things is that he approached the presidency the way a president should. In other words, he wrapped his head around the issues and made an executive-style decision regarding it.
Right.
Regardless of what was said about him, that's what he did. And everybody who was in the room with him, I see TikToks from a photographer that was in the room with him that really sticks up for him and says, you know, whenever they said this about him, it wasn't true, because he listened. The one person not talking in a room was him. The one person asking questions in a room would have been him, you know, and it was because he needed to wrap his head around the issue,
right,
and make an executive style decision.
Exactly.
Whereas, as opposed to just doing the politically correct thing. You know,
he's not a politician, Dave. That's the best thing I can say about Donald John Trump. He's not a politician.
No.
And of all the people who've been president, except from Ronald Reagan, who I adore. I love Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is a guy, I'm like, I could have a beer with that dude if he actually drank alcoholic beverages.
Yeah,
I could sit down
and
have a beer with that guy, right? Yeah. And by the way, let me say some things. I got to get this off my chest. How many men are offended because Donald Trump slept with a porn star? Okay, are we upset about that? I'm like, listen, if
I'm
Well,
wait, let me ask this.
The same thing.
Well, wait
okay?
a minute. Okay, good. Right? Good for you. Congratulations. But did he do it while he was president?
I don't care if he did it while he's president or not, because I know GC has slept with many porn stars, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right, GC?
Dana, his wife listens to the show, okay? So let's...
I'm sorry. That is a complete fabrication, Mrs. GC. I'm sorry. Ooh, damn. But, I mean, you know, the things they would throw at him, you know, he wasn't presidential.
This is a show she's going to want to listen to at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to let the secrets out. Listen, after this show, please come over. We're going to have a Blog Talk Radio exclusive, The Stuff You Don't Know About G-Ski. I'm going to let it all loose, the things we know about G-Ski. Okay?
By the way, we made it all up, but you didn't know it. No.
But, I mean, Donald Trump, to me, was a guy who, when he spoke – he could relate to regular Americans, and that's pretty amazing to say about a guy who's a billionaire, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
Do you remember what Levin called him? The blue-collar billionaire.
Exactly.
I thought that was awesome
when
he said that.
And, I mean, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Seriously, we talked about it earlier. I used to thrill when there was a Donald Trump press conference. Did you guys not just love it when he would take on the media establishment and just give them the business?
They hated it so much, and that was, you know, that was their fuel to get him out, because they treated him him like that. So if I ask now, if I ask like my buddy that I work with, you know, what's the one thing that you hate about the Trump? Mm-hmm. He would say like Trump lied. And I don't know what he would have lied about, but I mean, what he says is stuff like this. He would say, we have the best or whatever, probably the best in the country and in all the world, quite frankly, you know? So in other words, he would, it would be like subjective lies. Somebody else thinks that something else is better, then Trump can't claim that they have the best, whatever.
Hey,
right.
Listen.
As opposed to objective lies about, like, for example, for the People Act and what that does as far as voting, expanding voting or whatever.
Right.
You know, he rubbed them the wrong way, and they let him so that they could.
Guys, and maybe you guys were different because I hadn't talked to you at the time. I was not on the Trump train during the Republican, you know, nomination.
No, of course.
Ted Cruz guy.
Right.
But the more I heard him, the more I saw him take on the media, I'm thinking maybe we don't – listen, sometimes you don't get the hero you want. You get the hero you need, right, at the time.
Yeah.
Take on Jim Acosta in the CNNs and call them – do you know how I would sit here with a bowl of popcorn watching him call Jim Acosta fake news, okay? Because I did.
I loved that.
That was great. Now, my wife would look at these snippets that they would allow on before the election. So
of course.
They would look at
the
snippets of the rallies that he would do, and she called it. And she's really not even a Trump fan. She said, this guy's going to be the next president.
Hey, guys, listen. Dave, you mentioned it earlier. Have you ever seen a presidential candidate have caravans of trucks, boats.
Nope.
25,000-40,000 people show up at a rally. I've never seen that, okay? He had a way to connect with normal Americans that these politicians don't get, okay? Okay, so we went through 8 years of George Bush, who would take a punch in the face every time they gave it to him. And, you know, what we were saying at the time was, fight back. Just fight back. And Trump did that. And that's what I admire him for. Okay?
Yeah, that's, we all
he will have my eternal respect.
We were so sick of getting walked on and having them write the history. You know, that well, because we say it must be so, Trump called him out and didn't let the lies lay. He called him out.
Let me ask this question.
And challenged it.
Since I have two very intelligent members on the line, let me ask you this question. We're talking about voter fraud tonight. We've heard what happened in Arizona and Georgia, and I know what happened in Pennsylvania. What would happen if we found out that thousands of votes were switched in swing states and Trump actually won the election? Is this what the Democrats are actually afraid of, Dave? What would happen? What would that – I mean, have you ever thought about the implications of what we're actually talking about?
Every week we get on here and we talk about that. And it's like we're trying to wrap our heads around how this would proceed. Now, part of it is we can't trust the Supreme Court because the argument that people on the left have is, well, all the Supreme Court cases have been thrown out. No, they weren't even looked at.
They
weren't
listened at. You exactly
right. They were thrown out on, you know, because you didn't dot your I or cross your T or whatever. It was so. In other words, the substance of the case was not looked at. For example, you brought up earlier the Pennsylvania legislature.
Right.
They didn't look at that case. No, that's a slam dunk case. Look
it is.
At what the law says. They didn't want to take it because they didn't. They were so chicken shit that they didn't want to be the ones that turned over what the media narrative. Everybody everywhere in the media and on the Democrat side said it has to be this way.
Right.
Oh, well, then I will set aside my Supreme Court justice power and you know, kowtow to whatever you guys say. Unless there's bigger players that are pulling the strings of the Supreme Court justices, which is even more scary.
But some of the things are frightening.
Not necessarily unbelievable.
But, Dave, I think we have to go to the minority on dialysis or we're going to get canceled. So, G-Ski, what do you think?
I think, brother,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think Dave is on point. We've talked about that before.
Right.
We've talked about that on many, many, many shows. And in all actuality, he won the two swing states. He won Ohio and he won Florida.
Right.
And over the past 35 years, any president or any candidate that wins Ohio and Florida becomes president. And he won both Florida and Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Now,
all of a sudden,
enter COVID, et cetera. Okay. But so, let me bring you up to speed on what another thing that we've talked about on the show. I know I brought it up, and I've told G-Ski that there's kind of two schools of thought. If there is ever, you know, I mean, not that there's not, but I mean, if there's ever evidence of the voter fraud and how much and specifics and all this and that, and what we all know to be the case, what happens then? Do you understand the question?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you do? Okay. So, and my thing, and G-Ski, you've heard me say this many times, who's going to hear the case? First of all, who's going to bring the case? Because Attorney General are not, you know, they're corrupt. who's going to hear the case, because a lot of the judges that would agree to hear it are going to be corrupt.
Right.
So there's two things that I've heard about that, whether or not those other two, you know, who brings the case and who hears the case, happen. As far as what the law says, there's two separate schools of thought on this, and the first one, and the one that I hope is the truth is, if there are, and I'm going to paraphrase because it was, you know, it was weeks ago that I brought this up. It was if all these conditions are met. And, you know, there has to be, you know, there has to be some action taken.
Right.
What happens is the electors that were that were certified are made null and void, and the new, you know, quote unquote electors are chosen according to what the findings are of the audit. Now that's the one that I hope is happening, because the new electors will, you know, obviously be, you know, make the thing go in a different direction. Now, another thing I saw, you know, and these are like, you know, quick summations, paraphrase type things. The other one is the one that I don't want, because it says, it's the one that says there is currently a president inaugurated. In order to remove that president, you have to enact like the either impeachment or the 25th Amendment. Mm-hmm. But that brings up the line of succession, which is what? Which is Kamala Harris,
and then Nancy Stretch Pelosi.
Right. So that's the one that I don't want. Because of what that portends, I don't know if the fourth one down is the designated survivor, so to speak. You know, like the
by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is G-Ski Rock. He is the designated survivor. So
he's the designated survivor.
Yeah.
And
no,
he's,
you know, I understand. Yeah.
I
think the thing that has to be said, Dave, is that regardless of what we find, we'd have an answer. No, I don't think it's removing Joe Biden from office, if he is even in office at this point. That's questionable. But we need to know what happened.
Agreed.
Right?
He's a stock puppet.
We need to know. Right? Like, I don't even know what he's doing at this point.
You know,
my grandfather at some point became, you know, much dementia, and we used to just sit him in the corner and, you know, just give him the remote with no battery in it, you know, let him push the buttons. So he felt like he was doing something. I feel like that's Joe Biden at this point, okay? You know, but I don't know that you remove him, but I think we need to know the answer. Don't you think we deserve that? You know, we deserve to know what happened, right? And
okay,
correct
but,
it going forward.
It's not
going
to mean anything. It's not going to mean anything if you don't remove him. It's going to be, oh, so what? Yeah, there was voter fraud, but we still have our president.
Right, but I will say to you, I believe – okay – let me say it to you this guy, guys. I believe Donald Trump won the election. Can I say that on your show? Is
you
that
can
controversial?
Say that fine because that's what I've said many times.
I believe he won the election. I believe he is the current president of the United States. And that's why I feel like it's weird right now, because I feel like there's no president. Have you guys woke up in the morning going, it feels like there's no president because I don't accept
that,
Joe Biden.
But I don't know. See, I don't think – what you just said, I don't think that Trump is the current president. I believe you won the election, but the president is who was inaugurated and sworn in.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I actually think that the former, quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now, president has better press releases than the current president. You know how succinct Trump is about the situation in Cuba, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Trump understands freedom is important, right? This guy in the White House right now, like I said, he's like my grandfather. We didn't even let him have the remote control at some point in his life because he was too senile to have that. And, you know, we have enemies around the world right now who look at us as weak because of who's in the Oval Office right now.
But guys, it's a strange situation, and I get it. Maybe we can't go back and install Trump as president, but
Dana,
we need to know the answer.
Dana, there are but the people around the world may have had something to do with installing this guy.
Well, first of all, I hope you're not talking about China, because they're just a beneficent little country that has our best interest at heart.
Sorry,
they
sorry,
make
sorry,
Nike
sorry,
shoes.
Sorry, you're
okay?
right. No, you're right. No. I was thinking.
I would be concerned about North Korea if they didn't have North Korea concerned
like
me before I realized they had Acme rockets from the Wile E. Coyote.
No,
they concerned me for
thinking,
a while.
I was thinking more like Canada or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, Justin Trudeau, that fucking cuck. I cursed on your show. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna be canceled soon anyway.
Listen, my wife has more testosterone than Justin Trudeau. Can I say that on air? Am I allowed to say that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But listen. You know what? Whatever happens, guys, and I know G Ski and Dave and I'm this way, I'll resist to the very end, right?
Well, we'll
I love
just keep talking until they, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, catch me if you can, you know?
Catch me. If I could tell a quick story, my father was a Korean War veteran, okay? He loved America. We flew a flag in our yard every day, properly, by the way. At night, you're supposed to light that thing, by the way, people. If you don't know that, that is true. You're supposed to light the flag. And my father was a patriot. He loved this country. And, you know, he told me many times that there may come a time in my lifetime where I may have to fight for my own freedom, okay? I'm ready to do that, okay? I'm not going to go down this road where I accept everything that's going on. I know you're not going to do that, Dave. And I know G. Ski on dialysis probably has some kind of AK-47 right now as we speak, okay? Ready to defend his own freedom. Right? So it's like we have to take that mantle.
No.
Now, I'm not sure that we can win this fight. I'm not going to lie to people. I'm not going to be a Pollyanna. I'm not sure we can win this fight. But you know what? We're going to find out, right? We're going to find out how many freedom-loving Americans there are, okay? And I know that you guys are two of them, and anybody that listens to your show has to be a freedom-loving American. So, you know what? Let's just go. We'll do what we can do, right?
Well, it's not a prerequisite. You can listen to my show if you're whatever. But don't report us.
I'm not going to do that to you guys. First of all, listen, you know, as I said before, let me finish. I know we're getting late into the show. The guys that you're listening to are amazing patriots. They have done the work that is necessary. You have a guy that has written books. You have a guy down there in G-Ski that breaks every stereotype that is possible, right? Okay? You're talking about a black conservative who's on dialysis right now, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? All right? And I say to you guys, you know, you guys are great patriots. We're going to fight this. And maybe in the end we lose. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But don't we have to have this fight? Don't we have to do what we need to do to preserve?
Yeah. Indeed.
Indeed. Hey, so listen, we're down to like 2 minutes. But what I'd like
to
do.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I took over your show, and I am so sorry.
Dana, listen
that,
to
by
me.
The way.
Listen to me, please. Listen. All right. I want to talk to you some more, which we can do while we're not broadcasting. We can still stay on the
Absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely. You guys, if you don't have my information, I will give it to you. Absolutely.
No. I mean right now.
Okay. Go ahead. Go.
All right.
Go.
So here's what we can do. We can close out our show, and then anybody who's not on the line will that the show will end. But anybody who's on the line and wants to maybe call in and hear us, maybe we can keep this going for just a little while.
You know what? If there's anybody on the line right now, call in, because right now I've had my 7th bourbon and I am drunk as shit. So call in, for God's sake.
I think Susie's on the line, and it would be great
I
to
love
hear
Sue.
Her.
Put Sue on the line. For God's sake, put her through. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
She'll only come on if she asks to come on, other than that.
Well, Stu asked to come on because that woman right there, you talk about a patriot and a sweetheart. There's no sweeter woman in the world than Sue from New Mexico.
No argument from anybody on our show about Sue.
Hey, GZ, why don't you play the minority dialysis card and get Sue on? Go ahead, do it. I dare you.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna
honestly,
Jeezy, why don't you close us out with a promo, and then we can
do it
on after that.
All righty. Well, thank everybody for listening, and we're out.
Thank you, and everybody.
You remember, Dave, I told you that actually got played on the radio.
What?
Yeah. You remember me telling you about that?
Not in this state, but go ahead. What happened?
Yeah, that song was called They Hate Me. It was.
Now you're all right.
Yeah, them liberals hate me.
I remember you telling me that.
And it was... Oh, God, I'm forgetting his name. Last name Humphrey. What was his first name?
Oh, Rusty. Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty Humphrey.
Yeah.
He played my song on his show.
Nice.
Because his board guy, his engineer guy got a hold of it. I don't remember how, but, yeah, he got a hold of it, and he ended up playing it for Rusty Humphries, and he liked it, and he played it on his show.
Send me a copy of that? Because I don't think I've actually heard the whole version of it. I'd love to hear it.
I can do that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Sometime. I mean,
lost it, man, because
upload it. Upload it to the BTR thing, and we can include it in promo type stuff.
Do you still have your stuff on YouTube, Chisky? You still got your YouTube channel going, or is that down now?
No, I took it all down.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna start putting that stuff back up again. But
because I have three sons who just dug your shit. They really liked your stuff. And I introduced them to it, and they were spreading that stuff around because they liked your beats, man. So,
had a cool group. For the longest time, I remember the Declaration of Independence song I have. That's still up.
Yes.
That has tens of thousands of views. So people are digging that. But remember, G-Ski, I said, I'd like you to do like a rap over the third verse or something just to break it up. That was cool.
Yeah.
We never really.
I remember that.
Yeah, we never really tied that knot off, but I'm still open to it, you know, at any old time. But so.
I'm down.
So
it's
Dana.
It's like, you know. Yeah.
I have a question. Dana, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I have not discussed this with G-Ski as you've been on the line with us both the whole time.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry about that, guys. I apologize for ruining your entire show.
No. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen. What do you think about calling this the Dave and G-Ski and Dana show?
Yeah, listen, man, I would be more than happy to call in with you guys because riffing with you guys is fantastic. You know,
great.
The end of my show was just, it was out of frustration, and I was having some personal issues going on at the time. And I ended the show, And I always intended maybe on coming back, but you know how things go in life. You get working, you get busy, and you don't come back. But, you know, what I said to you guys was honest. I used to think about those old days when we would have you and, you know, G-Ski was on. We have RZ and Steven Vandergast and the whole crew that was on. You know, we did some good stuff back in the days, you know, if I do say
yeah.
so much.
I don't know if you guys remember, but I actually met Steven Vandergast.
Did you really?
Yeah, he was flying.
Oh, okay.
He was, I forgot where he was going, but he mm-hmm. came into the Atlanta airport and he was going to be there for like 3 hours. So,
I remember
mentioning
that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my wife jumped in the car because I mean I only lived like 15 minutes from the airport at the time,
right.
And we jumped in the car and went down there and met him.
So refresh me now. Steven Vandergast was the guy that had the quintessential
the voice.
Radio voice, right?
He sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I remember who he is then. Okay. All right. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
been the voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always had this sort of fantasy, if you will, that all of us back in the day, and I'll say it how I envision it in my head, that we were all sitting around somewhere broadcasting live together. It was you, Dave, G-Ski, Vandergast, all the guys. And we're riffing, right? We're having this kind of confab, right? A convention, if you will. And I'm hoping that sometime in the future that happens. Yeah. That's all
that
I can say.
That would be awesome. No, but G-Ski, what do you think
oh, yeah,
about
yeah, yeah.
my idea of bringing Dana in whenever he has something to say featuring him is. Because I was
yeah.
always jealous of his shows.
I have like 600 listeners sometimes. You know, the funny part of it is like,
yeah.
you know, I would do my thing, and I think the peak I ever had was a show I had called, you know, What Would You Fight and Die For? Which I think peaked out at like 1,000 listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody listened to my show, right? And I not that I cared, right? I did what I did for me, but it was weird because I know you guys had much more success than
no,
I did in terms
no,
of listeners
no.
and that kind of stuff.
About? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
1,000 listeners. We didn't have 1,000 listeners on any of them. What are you talking about?
I was like, okay, I do my best show and I get 1,000 listeners. But, you know, I think you come to a point where you realize you got
to
say what you got
to
say, right? Yeah. Yeah.
G-Ski.
Yeah.
We didn't have close to 1,000 listeners, did we? Ever?
I don't know what the hell. I just like work with you
no,
guys in the
but,
past.
But,
and, you know, that's all.
I
remember when I was over in Germany was where I first got with you guys, and I just like working with you, you know. I like the riff that we had. We had kind of a thing that we did, and it just worked for me, you know, from a performance standpoint.
What did we have, G? I didn't keep track.
I mean, we didn't have thousands of live listeners, but we had thousands of people that downloaded the show.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Those numbers were really high. Yeah.
All right. I don't remember that. That's awesome then.
Yeah. Yeah. Those numbers were high.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
I,
the only
I
thing I can
probably,
say. Well, with you, G-Ski, it was always when we had the opportunity to talk and we had our interview that we did about race and all that stuff that I mentioned on the show. It was just I always felt you to be immensely talented, you know, the musical standpoint and then, you know, doing the show. And Dave, as I told you before, I don't think I could write a book. I don't know if I have the attention span to write a book, to be honest with you. And, you know, I read Stay Mad and I promoted that shit out and told my friends to read it because I thought it was a great read. You know, and I always felt you guys were immensely talented and, you know, you should have a bigger audience, to be quite honest. Yeah.
Well,
that was always one of my things is that we didn't, we didn't have a lot of live. I think probably the most that we ever, I think the most that we ever had was probably about 50.
Right.
Yeah,
but the one who got the live, because we didn't, we weren't at 9 o'clock, were we? Oh, we were.
No, I don't think.
Yeah, we were 9 o'clock.
We weren't Friday night 9 o'clock because Jermaine had the most listens. He had the biggest show. He was always on page one of Blog Talk Radio, Friday night charge and all that.
Yeah.
It was his name was Jermaine. I don't remember his last name.
I don't remember his last name either. But I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It was that American flag, icon.
Yeah.
The thing about you guys that I said on the show was you were so gracious. I was this nobody who showed up in this blog talk radio thing. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, but Dana,
and
Dana,
I connected with the two of you, and you guys were so gracious to help me out early on.
Dana, please listen. We were all nobodies, all of us, and that's how we all approached this. We were all nobodies. We got to talk with somebody else that was a nobody, and then we talked to somebody else that was a nobody, and then we developed, built our own little family. You know, G-Ski.
Well, the thing that I'm going to say, and I mean this as a compliment, is when I would listen to you guys do your stuff, but I mean, that's what I would say, you know, it was like you guys were very professional, so that's what I took from it, you guys took the time to talk about it.
The thing is, we'll talk to whoever wants to talk to us on our level, and you did, you are. And, you know, it's not that our level is substandard. Our level is, you know, where we're at on our awareness. And, if we can, like, G-Ski called into my show one time. He just happened upon my show. He called in, and we talked for a long time, and we really hit it off. And that was like, you know, that was how we connected. And then we started doing more and more stuff together.
Right.
You know, and then we had other connections. We networked. So, I don't know. I'm hoping that this show tonight really kind of connected.
Well, I always felt that, like, G-Ski was so damn talented.
Yeah.
Can I say that? And then
he always was,
you know. He was a guy that did so much stuff, and I love the style that he brought to the show.
Yeah.
So I was like a fanboy.
You and me both. You and me both.
Mm-hmm.
God gives me too much credit.
No.
Too much credit.
No, it's nothing that you don't deserve, really. It's true. Now, granted, we're both drunk, but
and Dave,
absolutely,
and Dave. I have to correct you. We actually met on Voldemort's show.
Oh, that's
right. My God.
That's right.
We actually met on Voldemort's show.
Now was I holding down his show, because I did that for a little while?
No, you. That was when he had like you, him, and I think maybe a couple of other y'all used to do the round table.
Okay, so he invited me to be a color commentator.
Yes.
I forgot all about that until you just said that. I was the color commentator. And I'm white as hell. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Of all the people you could invite to be a color commentator, it was me.
The non-color guy. Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah, because I had just switched over to VTR, because before that I was doing my show on Live 365, if y'all remember.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I used to do a show on Live 365, but then I ran across Blog Talk Radio, and that was way better than Live 365. Because,
so you started live and direct.
Yeah.
Live and direct. Yeah.
I love that title.
Yeah, because it had the options of people calling in and all that other stuff. So I'm like, man, this is the shit.
Yeah,
right,
that's like a real regular radio show. I mean, if you can get people to listen and get people to call in, you're on and popping.
And he was on and popping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I started listening to conservative shows, and I ran across Voldemort and his little show. Socialism is not an option. I think that's
not
what
an option.
Yeah,
that was exactly what the title was. Yep.
Yep. And you know, guys, my wife was in the Army. We were in Germany when that stuff was going on, and I first caught wind of you. Socialism is not an option, and I got to know Dave and G Ski. I mean, that was years ago, but I mean, you know, it was, you find out throughout as I was discussing on the show, there's some people that are frauds. Let's be honest. They catch on to the conservative movement. It's a fraud. You guys are not.
Yep.
You've been consistent throughout. And, you know, that's what I loved about you. And G-Ski, you're very talented, Dave. You know, I wish I could write a book. I wish I had the attention to write a book, but I don't. Okay, and I listened to G-Ski, and I mean this, buddy. I wanted to be you. I wanted to be as smooth as you were when you did your show. Okay,
wow.
And I admired you greatly.
That is
so. I still do.
I wanted to be Dana.
Listen, nobody wants to be me. Trust me. And I would like listen
right,
to G-Ski doing the show.
Me, okay.
I mean, it would be like this guy comes on and he's like, how can I be that smooth, right? And then, you know, my sons, G-Ski, I must say I've got three sons that range from age from 31 down to 27, and they love your stuff. I introduced them to you on YouTube when you had your YouTube channel, right? Because they love rap. They love that stuff. And they thought you were the best thing ever, buddy. I'm telling you. So, you know, you've had an influence on people.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
that's
brother.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Dave, I made them read your book, but I let them listen to G-Ski's music. Okay?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
I think you did.
I got you.
No,
Dave,
your book was ahead of time, Dave.
By the way, I do music, too, and I got a gig next Friday. So, G-Ski, I think I mentioned to you, you're on your own next Friday.
No, fucking G-Ski was awesome. I used to love the YouTube channel.
Oh, Dana,
when it was up.
Listen,
I mean,
it's you and G-Ski next Friday if you can make it.
Well, listen, you know what?
I'm
on vacation next Friday, so I would be more than happy to hang with G-Ski.
Well,
I'm taking a vacation for a week.
Drunk, G.
Yeah. there's no doubt. I mean, you know, I miss you guys. I swear to God, I told those people
out there, you and
RZ. I actually still talk to RZ through private messaging because we still contact because he's my life coach. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I didn't
know.
But
he is.
That's great.
And he's trying to help me not be so much of an alcoholic, but it doesn't work. And, you know, G-Ski was always my hero. There's nobody as smooth as G-Ski. There's just not, okay? And I'm too white to be G-Ski, so I try. But we'll see what we can do. Yeah.
All right. Find out.
I would be more than happy. Anytime you guys would like me to come on, I would be more than happy to do that. I don't know that I have the time or the energy to have a show of my own anymore, to be honest with you, to do the prep that's necessary to do a good show, right?
Wait.
Or just do whatever, right?
We don't do show prep around here.
We have sworn off show prep.
I used to do show prep, guys. What, was I stupid? What's wrong with me?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, honestly,
yeah.
here's the thing. Now, G-Ski and I will text like occasionally. Okay, a little more than we used to for the 6 years, but we kept in touch. But now that we have the show together, we text maybe once or twice a week. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right.
Once or twice a week. So. What we always preface it with is, I know I've sworn off show prep, but so let me ask you this. Okay, you say, Now, this is important to me, okay? Because because of all that went on, you say you still talk to RZ.
No, the door closed.
I do.
Ask RZ if he's willing to talk to me.
I am going to get him on your show. How about that?
All
RZ and I are close personal friends. We have since the Blog Talk Radio days ended. We still talk. I'm
going to
get him on your show.
He and I did not see eye to eye regarding, in this case, Convention of States.
You know what? That's the thing, too. You know, Dave, I'm a big believer in Convention of States. I am a big believer in states have got to retain their rights, and some people are not comfortable with that because they believe it'll be a runaway convention, whatever they call it.
Yada, yada.
I believe it is time for us as states to retain our rights, right? Okay. But I will get – I'm going to tell you this. When you're on next time, when you're Dave, I'm going to get RZ on with you guys because I believe it's the Beatles, right? We got to get together. We got to talk about things.
What I'm saying –
because
RZ
is a patriot.
Okay, and I don't dispute that, but what I'm saying is, last time it didn't seem like he wanted much to do with me. I'm game, you know what I mean?
Guys, I'm a healer.
I'm gonna
make this happen.
All right, I will, you know, I will stick with what I believe. He can stick with what he believes. You know, maybe I'll employ the new debate tactic of agreeing on facts first until we don't agree.
You know what I'm going to say to you guys? And what I mentioned earlier in the show is we are all patriots. How about we do this? And I think you're exactly right, Dave. How about we all agree on what we can agree on? Okay.
Leave the
minutia alone and let's attack the big issues.
Yeah.
Because
what's
important.
Let's see how far we can go before we say, okay, you lost me. Because
the family back together because, honestly, for a selfish reason, I used to love those nights we'd get together and have those big discussions, right? And, you know, it's not that we all agreed. We didn't all agree on every issue. But, you know, the big things about liberty, right, about personal choice, we did agree on, I think. And we need to go with that, okay? We really, really do.
Yeah.
And as far as it goes, you know, as I said before, you guys early on, I will always have deference to you guys because you helped me immensely early on when I had no audience whatsoever.
Well, maybe.
And I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, you guys are always going to have a special place in my heart.
Maybe this will change your mind. Okay? These are my show notes tonight.
Go
ahead. You ready?
Go.
Trump lied! !6. Quote: "We have the best whatever, and probably the best whatever in all the country, in all the world." Quite frankly, that was my show note.
Well, I agree with that completely. First of all, I'm America first and first most. I mean, I'm one of those people like Trump. I'm thinking America. Hell yeah.
It was in regards to somebody that says Trump lied. They're talking about his sales pitch. They're talking about his sales pitch. Period. Hello.
Whatever.
You know. So that was that. That is the extent of my G-ski. Honest to God, don't get mad at me. That was the extent of my show notes for tonight.
You know, the thing about it is this. I think all of us, whether it be you or G-Ski or myself or RC or anybody, we have more in common than we do difference, right? So let's agree on what we can agree on, okay? That America, first of all, is the greatest experiment in human history.
Yeah.
Right? Liberty is important. Let's go with it, okay? And the minutia we'll fight on later. Okay. Well, we can have discussions about the legalization of drugs or whatever it is that people have a difference on, right? Let's agree that liberty is important, and I think most people would agree with that. And I think we need to get the fam back together because we used to agree on that, for God's sake, right?
Yeah.
We used to do that. Now, I will say I've met Annie in person recently, and Annie has gone corporate. Okay, she's got some sponsors now. And I don't know that Annie Ubelis is the same as she used to be, okay, because she's got sponsors and she's got advertisers that she's used to. I'm not sure that she's with us anymore, guys. I have to be honest, okay? Because we could give a shit about that.
Well, that's
like, she is on. Right. Yeah, she's got some network that she's on now. Then she's got listeners and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, Andy. But what's important if we're talking about freedom now, individual liberty? Then I'm willing to lay everything down for, as you guys are. Obviously, you do it every day, right? So I'm
right.
not sure that everybody in the fam is down for that, G Ski. But some of
Harry,
us
that's
are.
Why she
okay.
wants to interview me, G Ski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what she said? She DM'd you. She wants to interview me?
No.
Well,
okay.
Sue DM'd me saying that, mm-hmm. she wants to interview you.
Oh, so you got a third hand from Sue.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, G-Ski, she is a Republican hack. She's a party hack. She's not going to understand what you're going to say, right? She's not going to understand what you're talking about, liberty and freedom of speech. And, you know, I don't care about Republican or Democrat. I'm talking about liberty, okay? Annie's a Republican hack, okay? She's in with the Mark Sanfords of the world, okay? So, yeah, she's not going to get you, buddy. She's just not, okay?
I'll be right back. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not sure she's going to understand. But what you have to do is you have to be consistent. And how do I say this without – because I love Annie. She's sold out, brother, okay? She's got sponsors. She's got money coming in, and she's sold out, okay? That's about as frank as I can be, okay? So, you know, whatever, bro, you know?
Yeah.
You know. It happens, right? But,
yeah.
Yeah. She got some internet, some kind of internet radio sort of a deal that she has going on now, and she feels like that's important. And so she's willing to say things that you and I would not say. So, that's all I can say about that, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. I have to check her out.
No, I mean, you know, I love Annie. I just saw her. What?
What do you want, doggy? What do you want?
I dropped.
Huh?
Yanni, and he was in the hospital,
that's
so I had an opportunity to talk to her. But she's very much team Republican. And I think you and I and Dave, I would be sure, we're like team Liberty, right? We don't care, right? We're, you know, some Republicans are just as bad as some of the Democrats, you know. So.
Right.
All right, I'm back. Sorry, I was doing the pee-pee dance.
Yeah. It's okay. That's okay.
By the way, that's some of my show shtick when I request, all right, well, we need some dances up here. I'll even take the pee-pee dance.
Yeah, so. Some people still believe that if you just vote Republican, you're safe. And that's where I used to be. You know, I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I used to be
that's
that way.
That's kind of where we all started, at least.
Yeah. And now we realize that, no, we're on Team Liberty. So whoever's going to fight for liberty, that's
right.
That's who we're going to vote for.
So come along Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Come along Mitt Romney.
No.
You know, come along those guys. And you know, you can't be just strictly Republican anymore. Or Mitch McConnell, you know. These guys are, you know, quote-unquote Republicans. Okay, I left to go pee, but I know what you guys are talking about, but just by, you know, who you're naming. I'm sorry to hear that about Annie, because I didn't think that.
Annie's a great person, Dave.
Yeah,
she's a great lady, but she just believes that the Republican Party is the solution to everything. And you and I apparently don't agree, right? We don't agree. You know?
Well, okay, so let's see where we can agree, okay? It is... of the two parties, it's the Republican Party that's closest to us. All right.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is kind of like infiltrate the Republican Party the way the Democrat Party has been infiltrated by Marxists.
Right.
So you know, on the one hand, okay, I'm sorry, but on the one hand, I'll have to give it to I have to hand it to Annie.
Yeah.
And if he is still talking about talking about liberty, she can help influence the Republican Party back to where we can get back on board with it. Right now, it's the only thing we have. I mean, what are you going to do? Vote Democrat because you don't like the Republicans? Are you kidding?
I agree, Dave, but there are some, like down here in South Carolina, we had Mark Sanford, who was a tragedy, right? And Annie backed him because she's Republican through and through.
Okay.
I'm telling her, sometimes you got to say no, right? You got to say no. We're not going to support those people anymore.
But those things, listen, those things are taken care of one way or the other in the primary.
Right.
The primaries
decide
those things. So if he's on the wrong side in a primary, then I got you. But if she's on the wrong side against a Democrat, you need the W.
But I will say, let me be fair to say about Annie. Annie is a great American who loves freedom. Right? I think sometimes she just believes the Republican Party is right all the time. And you and I know that's not true.
No, that's not true. That's what she's me. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was even like, I'll go on whatever show, I'll find out when her show is and I'll go on.
Right.
So. Gigi, how you doing in there? You still there?
Jesus Christ,
I'm good.
Gigi dead? What the hell happened?
No. See, he needs to talk into his mic, otherwise his mic picks up all the other shit that's going on around.
Christ's sake, man, say something. Okay. All I'm hearing is G-Ski is dead. G-Ski's vitals have dropped. He's dead.
No. It's all because he's in the same room. This is how I understand it. Anyways, he's on the machine, right? He's talking to us. His wife.
So are you doing, let me ask you, G-Ski, are you doing like outpatient dialysis? What's happening with you, brother?
I do it from home.
Yeah.
You do it from home, okay.
Outpatient.
Yeah.
He's not in the friggin' hospital. What are you?
Fuck G-Ski. He's like, I'm not going to a hospital. The hell with you people.
No, here's how
I got to say,
people. Do it from the house.
Dana, here's how it works, okay? Here's how it works. Now, I'm in New Hampshire, okay? So this is my understanding. Mm-hmm. And there might be some value in this. He's on the dialysis machine talking to us. His wife is sitting next to him on the bed, lying next to him on the bed, watching a TV show.
Is she really? Mrs. G-Ski, I love you tremendously. I want you to know that. If she's listening. First of all, I got to say that G-Ski on dialysis machine, I mean, you talk about a patriot, right? This thing has no kidney function, and he's still rocking it, Dave.
He's still rocking it. That is exactly right. So the first thing that I thought of was, if I have to be on a dialysis machine three times a week for 3 hours, I may as well do a Blog Talk Radio show.
May as well, right?
Not about
me as well, right? But I would expect nothing less from the patriot known as G-Ski Rocks, by the way. And I love, Dave, the fact that you have to tell people how to spell G-Ski Rocks, right? G and the sport ski rock, right?
That was last week. So, Dana, we now know, listen to last week's show.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, my God, really? Okay, people.
Sports ski. I don't remember what that is.
The sports ski rocks. I love it. Yeah.
So, Dana, I always on Saturday while I'm delivering mail, I listen to the night before.
Yeah.
I listen to the show to find out what I said. So sometimes it's pretty smart.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing that this guy, and I mean this sincerely, G-Ski, you're on dialysis and you're still rocking the patriotism, okay? I mean, I don't even know what to say to that, okay? There are people out there who are not willing to be in the fight, but you're on dialysis, for God's sakes, and you're still willing to fight. So God
yeah,
bless
not
you,
me.
Brother.
Not me. I expect no less. Right, G-Ski?
Yeah.
Huh?
I expect no less.
God, man. God says a guy kidneys. He's still fighting the fight against socialism. God bless you, G-Ski. God bless you. Yeah. And by the way, if Mrs. G-Ski is sitting there, he's an angel. He's an angel. He does angel-like things. Okay? If she is sitting there listening.
I don't have to do that disclaimer because everybody knows that I love, literally, figuratively, everything but biblically, I love.
Yeah. Everything but intimately, love G-Ski Rock.
You know what's even better, Dana, is that I know that he loves that. You know, and it allows me a lot of liberty to say whatever I want because he knows that I love him.
So, G-C, let me ask you, how long have you been married, brother? How many years?
Oh, good Lord. 20...
My God, man.
Uh-oh.
Now you're in trouble. She doesn't
hey, guys.
Remember. Hello.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Second, fellas.
Yeah.
I got a phone call I got to answer.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Oh, that's convenient. Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't wait to meet the Mrs. G-Ski. Good Lord.
Well, that'll be great.
Bless her heart. Yeah.
Indeed.
He's got a call now he has to take. How
that's
convenient.
Fine. That's fine. I believe him. Dana, listen.
Buddy.
We'll probably wind this down, but, you know.
Yeah, buddy, absolutely.
You guys have been on all Friday nights. You have been phenomenal as always. Seriously. I have always been admirable of your shows, and I thank you for sitting on.
I don't know why, brother, but let me just take a minute
because you did the prep, you did the show, you knew what you wanted to say. So, I learned this from Dan Bongino whenever you're public speaking. He says, "Oh yeah, you can sum it up real quickly."
Right.
He says, first, you tell them what you're going to tell them.
Right.
And then you tell them.
You tell them again, right?
You tell them
what
you told
them. And then what I also learned from Dan Bongino is squat.
Them.
Yeah. I learned from Dan Bongino, squat press 800 pounds at all times because that man is a beast, right?
He's a beast. He doesn't
have
elbows. Let me just
say real quick, as we get out of here, Dave, you know I've always admired you. From days gone by, you were an influence to me early on. G-Ski, if you're still listening, buddy, the best. I hope you the best of health. You have been an influence on me as well. And you know what? Anytime I can help out or come on the show and help out, I would be more than happy to do that. And to all the people out there listening, listen, freedom, Mike, it's up to you. You want to fight for it? Fight for it, brother. Okay? And sister, because I know Sue's listening and she's a great patriot. Fight for it, okay? And that's it, okay? G-Ski, the best, and Dave, good luck, brother. And I will.
Thank you, sir.
I will.
You as well.
Get on out of here.
You know, check back with us. Check back with us often. You'll always have
I will do that, brother, because I love. You know what? It's been like a reminiscing thing, and it's been great. So,
well,
take care
tonight,
and
After tonight, we can get on with our lives, and we can get on with the business of doing a show.
Absolutely, brother. So take care, and G-Ski, the best to you, brother. I'll be praying for you, okay? And peace out, brother.
That, brother.
I'll talk to you down the road.
Right.
Okay.
Take care.
All righty.
All right.
All right. Rock on.
Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's good.
All right. Good. All right. So I hope you're not mad if I invited him on to come on, at any time.
That's all good.
Because I wasn't kidding. I was always kind of jealous of his show because he had such a, it was so organized and everything. So.
Yeah. Hey, you go Poodles.
I think we had a great show tonight, G.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. As
Alrighty.
Long as you think so, because you're paying the bill, like I said. No, and by the way, if I haven't lately, I thank you for that.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. You know, I love doing it.
Right. Well, I appreciate I appreciate that you do it, and we'll do it some more. But unfortunately, next week I'm going to be gone. So you'll have a whole lot more chance to say whatever you want to say.
I got you.
All right.
All righty. Well, now, and I will catch you on the flip side.
All right. I had fun tonight. Thank you very much for everything.
So did I. So did I. So did I.
Indeed. All right. I'll talk to you later, bud.
All right, man.
All right. See ya.
Laters.
Bye.